Mary Hopkins Cavanaugh, one of my favorites, political commentator, radio talk show host on 94.9, and she's with us this morning, and always delighted. You never know. You never know what you're going to get, and boy, I'll tell you, she's not afraid to give it to those who need it, and they do out there, and she is the one that does it all the time. Lori, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. This marijuana issue is front and center on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how much you guys have looked into
the details of the
bill.
A lot, yeah.
How do you feel, then, about the equity provision?
You mean expunging these previous...
No. That's, I like that aspect where you're erasing low-level
offenders. Yeah.
We're all together on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I am too.
I mean, if you got nailed for having a couple of joints back, I mean, that shouldn't be on your record, you know.
Yeah. And I know people like that.
Sure.
I know young people who have. You got to talk about the equity provision,
okay,
though.
Okay, go ahead.
It's very important because what they've decided to do, and this is welcome to Connecticut, where justice is defined by greed.
Mm-hmm.
This is racial bias. It's racist what they've done. And I think people need to know about it. No one's talking about it. And that is that they're going to award the dispensary licenses to people of color as a method of restoring social justice. They're going to have a commission of five folks that are appointed, of course, they're not elected, that are, include civil rights people, social justice people, and economic development people. This is the state of communism, totalitarianism. It is not democracy. It is not a republic. It is unconstitutional what they're doing. It's racist. I would like to see the Black and Hispanic caucus. I would like to see the Black and Hispanic caucus dissolved because racist organization, a communist organization, and this is wrong what they're doing.
So you say that there's a part of the bill here that will direct these legal dispensaries and shops more to the minority populations and minority ownership in the state?
Yes, sir.
Well, where did you get that information?
Misapplied to a social, it's not going to help anyone if a few chosen privileged people of color get awarded huge privileges. How is that going to help? And why would we be awarding money and businesses so unfairly? It should be a lottery. It should only be a lottery. People should have the same criteria and compete on the same level playing ground. This is racist. It's more white bashing. And, you know, I hate to be a white nationalist in this sense where I'm defending the white race, but at this point, this is really not fair. It is very wrong.
Well, how are you defending the white race? Tell me.
Well, because I'm saying that it's unfair that they're going to base the award of these businesses on skin color. And that doesn't even have it doesn't make any sense even in the sense of social justice.
You know, Lori, there's so all...
They're saying that the reason why is because more... A proportionate number of people of color have suffered by the justice system, and I agree with that. I believe in justice reform, and I believe that people of color suffer more. I do. But this is not... How is this going to correct that situation? It's not. It's just going to give a lot of money to wealthy friends. You wonder how Maxine Waters became so filthy rich. Mm-hmm. It is filthy. This is greed. This is not right. And it's good to pass through because no Republicans call it out for what it is.
And there's also an aspect of this bill. I know whether you saw this. The bill, now get this, the bill, the marijuana bill, would require legal cannabis vendors who are not people of color. So that's a code for white. the bill would require white cannabis vendors to invest in communities, as you say, Lori, disproportionately affected by the war on drugs by using revenue to help build schools or neighborhood centers. So what the bill is saying, if you're if you're white and you want to become a legal cannabis vendor, they're telling you what you have to do with your proceeds.
This is akin to the worst of the worst of fascists that we have seen in our world, and I'm not going to name them, but this is how fascists operate. It's unconstitutional, racist, it's wrong, and am I the only one in the state that's going to have to stand up and say that?
I want to ask you a question, Mary. You know what I'm sick and tired of? You know what I'm sick and tired of? I never had a problem growing up, and I grew up on a farm, my grandparents... Yeah. And none of this was ever discussed. We never had any problems. And blacks, we had everybody. Everybody. And
Let me finish, please.
That we bring it a lot on ourselves. I really believe that. We bring a lot on ourselves because we promote this stuff. And it's just something that drives me crazy.
Everything is race now. Every single thing is meant
to hurt us. It's
meant to.
I grew up in New London, and I grew up in Surfers Drum and Bugle Corps. I, a baritone. I was a solo baritonist in a band. That was a marching band called Surfers. It was a drum and bugle corps. We traveled around the world, and half the corps was black, and half the corps was white. We traveled on buses together. We ate together. I have grown up in the most integrated way, a glorious way anyone could ever. I didn't even know racism existed.
I didn't. Lori, I didn't either. My family, we owned a small grocery store that was in the Hill section of New Haven, which is the, you know, where most of the minorities in New Haven lived, black, Hispanic, Portuguese. And my father's store was like a League of Nations. It was almost, I kid with Brad here, it was like the lobby of the United Nations. Nobody seemed to, I never cared about race. I mean, it was like, my father told me, listen, everybody's equal. Everybody has money to spend. You treat every customer the same. Okay, Dad, understood. Just like your experience in the marching band. You didn't care, right?
Also, if you take a look at pot and incarcerations from the 1960s, I think when people were really using it during the Vietnam War, and you know, a lot of pot was going around and being sold. And there's other things that we should be talking about with this, because people don't realize they're going to impose a 20% tax in Connecticut like Massachusetts does, which is only going to increase and make the black market strong.
Oh, you're right.
You don't pay the drug of the 20%.
Yep.
And in addition to that, the stuff that they're selling in Massachusetts, my concern, I believe in the legalization of recreational marijuana to adults, but I don't like the state getting involved, and different states do it in different ways.
Yeah.
Like in Virginia, what they do is they don't have a law and they don't have dispensaries.
Yeah.
They give people for medical marijuana a prescription.
Yeah.
And they say, this is your get out of jail free card. Here's your doctor. You're registered with the state to have a prescription for a vape, which is the oil, et cetera. So, and I think that's a good way to do it, because it's saying basically, look, I'm registered. The state knows I'm doing this. It's legal.
Yeah.
It's medicinal.
Yeah.
It really makes sense, and it keeps the state out. What Connecticut is doing is greedy.
Yeah. You know
and
Lori, we have to move along. I do see the. I'm going to go over these numbers later in the show, but I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm looking at the tax structure right here, and you're right, it's very convoluted. And my guess here is all this tax revenue that people are going to say that we're going to get from this, it's just going to stay in the black market. So we'll have to move on. Lori, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori.
Great,
thanks, Lori.
Take care, guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Brad. We